It's time for ER 101 with expert guests provided by the American College of Emergency Physicians. Here's Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome back to ER 101. Again, we are in the warm months. People are outside, and there are other critters like ticks that can also cause disease in us. And I have to say, not to have a bad pun, but Lyme is in the limelight always. But people might not know that there are other tick-borne diseases that can be potentially serious. My next guest, a frequent guest of the show, Dr. Hans Haus, is an associate professor of emergency medicine and chair of education at the University of Iowa. So welcome back, Dr. Haus. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
So, you know, it's so true. Lyme gets all the credit. Lyme is the big thing in the forefront. But I recall one time actually seeing a woman with meningitis from Rocky Mountain spotted fever, which is a tick illness that we don't hear a lot about. And what's interesting is, you know, everybody thinks, oh, well, Rocky Mountain spotted fever, unless I'm in the Rocky Mountains, I don't have to worry about it. But not always true, correct?
In fact, actually, the Rocky Mountain spotted fever does not occur in the Rocky Mountains, strangely enough. That's just where it was discovered. It is far more common in the east and especially the southeast. I think one of the highest rates of it occur in the Carolinas.
Really? Yeah, and I'm in Maryland, so it's pretty close to there.
Yep.
So let's talk about it. What is is it a virus, a bacteria? What is it?
Well, that's actually kind of a good question. It is technically a bacteria. It is, but it acts very much like a virus. Because it's really, really tiny, and it only lives inside cells. It causes a severe illness that causes high fever and rash. And the rash is actually from disruption of blood vessels. It's what we call a petechiae. Petechiae is really tiny bruises. And unfortunately, those and occasionally it'll get severe, and that rash will proceed, and you end up developing severe, like a bleeding under the skin, like big bruises, and in rare cases, of course, meningitis. It is treatable. It is treatable with antibiotics if it's recognized.
Hmm. Now, let's also, for people, so, you know, people assume tick and rash, and you did mention petechiae, but the rashes are very, very different, right? So, you know, say somebody is exposed to the tick and they're getting a rash. I mean, that's one of the things. Obviously, they should go in and see somebody, but...
Right, and an experienced clinician should be able to tell the difference from the different rashes. For example, Lyme disease is a very classic target sign, like a bullseye. And then the Rocky Mountain spotted fever is this petechial or hemorrhagic rash, like a bleeding rash, that starts on the hands and then moves inward. And there's some other types of tick diseases as well that cause kind of a more faint, kind of like a fleeting kind of rash, almost like a measles type of thing. So the type of rash will give the physician a clue on what kind of disease they're dealing with.
Uh-huh. And are they in certain places, or, I mean, is it all over your body, this rash, or?
The Rocky Mountain spotted fever starts on the hands and feet and then moves inward. There's a different kind of tick-borne illness that we don't see much in the United States, which actually is the opposite. It starts in the central body and moves outward. And in the case of the Lyme disease, it is that target occurs where the tick bite actually is, and that's often on the back or the leg or something like that, wherever the tick initially latched on.
So that's the difference with the Rocky Mountain spotted fever. The rashes can be anywhere. It's not related to
it's not related to where the bite is. That's kind of an important difference. It's really kind of a systemic illness.
Right. And what are the other symptoms that people get when they might be exposed to this?
Well, the key one is fever. I mean, you know, just having a rash is usually not a big deal, or we wouldn't normally think of a tick-borne illness. But when you get a rash with a high fever, then you start to think about this. Also, it's going to make you feel just awful. I mean, you're going to feel like you've got a horrible flu. You've got you have muscle aches, you might have headaches. Headaches are really common. Neck stiffness possibility. You mentioned the patient had meningitis. Yeah, that certainly could spread to the central nervous system.
Now, does it have? Is it one of those tick illnesses that it'll have permanent problems with if somebody recovers?
Yeah, again, it is fully treatable with antibiotics, especially early on. And most patients with recommended spotted fever will do fine. It tends to happen in children a lot, unfortunately. Yes, there is some long-term sequelae. Sequelae is our word for long-term side effects of the illness. If it gets into the central nervous system, much in the same way that we see with classic meningitis, patients can end up having hearing loss or other deficits long term. But again, if it's caught early enough, it's fully treatable.
And what types of antibiotics should people get, and how long do they take them?
Yeah, there's a couple of different ones. When it's in mild cases, when people are just taking pills, for actually almost all of the tick-borne illnesses, doxycycline is typically used. Mm-hmm. And what's nice about that is it's kind of one drug to remember that kind of covers them all for the most part. So if you want to remember one, it's doxycycline. But there's some other antibiotics that are used, especially when it gets severe, even penicillins or ceftriaxone. The key, of course, is to not get bit in the first place.
Right. Yeah. So tell us what you can do to prevent that.
Yeah. So when you go out in the woods, that's where the ticks are going to be. So you want to make sure that you wear long sleeved clothing, long pants when you're out hiking in the areas where ticks are likely to be. And these are really common again in the Southeast and Northeast, and also the Midwest. Upper Midwest has a different disease. It's called ehrlichiosis, and that occurs. Mm-hmm. And in all these cases, yes, ticks are associated with a lot of different diseases, and it's kind of scary. But the nice thing is, it takes a while for the tick to transmit the illness. So it's not like a mosquito. Mosquito, you just bite you once for a few seconds, and then you can get malaria or something like that, or chikungunya. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. in the case of a tick-borne illness, the tick has to be attached to you for a while before it can transmit the infection, and it gives you a chance. So if you're going, when you're done with your hiking, when you're out camping, you need to inspect yourself or inspect your children. Look at the scalp. Look at the neck. Feel the back of the neck, feel the scalp, feel around your back. If you feel something kind of funny, look, have someone look at it and see if you got a tick there. If it ticks on you, get it off, get it attached. And if you do that in a short period of time, you're not going to get the disease. You're not going to get the illness because the tick has to be latched on for several hours. And in the case of Lyme disease, almost an entire day.
Wow. And so taking a simple shower can usually get rid of the tick, right? Just showering yourself good and washing everywhere and making sure, right?
Yes. And then you're certainly going to spot it that way. Now, when it comes to removing ticks, there's lots of myths out there about how to do it. You cover them with wax or, baking grease, or you hold a candle up to them and all these different things. And actually, all these ideas are actually not quite right and actually cause damage to the patient. Really, the best way is just simply get a nice, good pair of tweezers and pull the tick off with tweezers. Now, you, of course, want to be careful. Make sure you don't leave any parts
right
under the skin, so you want to inspect it afterwards. But a good pair of tweezers is the best way to remove a tick.
Sounds great. I want to thank my guest. This is ER 101. I'm Dr. Lieven Oker on Radio MD. Stay well and tune into your health.